our study is based on current data and historical data, so we can say we can measure and analyze the impact of the new GDT program. And from these historical up to current results, we can do some extrapolation into the future and do some scenario development. But again, and that's a fair comment, we cannot guarantee there will no be instabilities. We can only say there's a likelihood, etc., given the historical data we have. I will come back to this later also about this point. The other one was that from the business constituency, we should CEDAR should identify risk parameters, and so I can develop mitigation plans, contingency plans. So we already had a set of metrics defined in our original plan, but we will refine some of these metrics to include these instability metrics. Outreach of the DNS community, well, that was really also a fundamental part of our project plan. And there was a specific question about the breakdowns of the study results, not only to TLD, but also to geographic location classes. So maybe .A, how is .Asia used? Is it more used in Asia continent, or how is the distribution in other regions? We have included this in our plans. All right, next slide. Thank you. So back to the approach. So here we want to share our approach with you, with the community, and present some preliminary results. Important here is that we want to do some long-term analysis on root stability. Also, what's the impact of the introduction of new GTLDs in the root zone. So typical parameters we have defined in our project plan are what's the volume and the type of the new GLT traffic, and how does it compare with other DNS traffic to the root, to the CGTLDs and existing GTLDs. What are the performance? So what's the experience of you and me, of the users? The correctness of the DNS, is it influenced in any way? Reachability, so DNS root services are typically anycasted. So are the routes to my instance changed over time because of the introduction of new GTDs? It's again also kind of a stability measure if there are any changes here. And DNSSEC validation, so is the, by the introduction of new GTDs, is the DNSSEC validation let's rephrase it. What's with the DNSSEC validation of delegated TLDs? Are they how are the new TLDs behaving actually? Are they more or less bogus or valid? Is there a difference with the existing TLDs? We in our study we're using data which is publicly available, available already as passive data. We call that in the day of the live in DNS digital data published at the DNS.org website or DNS.org services, and RSSEC 002 data, which is published by the root operators. And can also be acquired, found at their site. Complementary to the passive data, we also do active measurements. We used Atlas, the RIPE Atlas, and DNS Mon measurement infrastructure to do measurements like trace routes, ping times, and really also DNS queries to the different routes, root letters. Again, and that's we are aware of that. Atlas has a larger presence in Europe and North Americas, to lesser extent to other regions. So we are aware of that, and we'll take that into account in our studies. And we do our own measurements, which is the DNSSEC validation of the root delegations. Important here is that we do these measurements not only once, but in a continuous way. So, and that again, we go to the future scenarios. Our best effort here is that we can, up to the today, actually measure what's going on and then extrapolate into the future. But the future will change. So that's a part of our approach, is that we do it in some continuous way. We monitor, or the plan is to develop tools to monitor the root zone and the introduction of new disease continuously. And with the tools and analysis we have developed, the predictions, kind of the extrapolation into the future, can be adapted. So you can change, if there are really large changes in the root zone behavior in, by the introduction of new GDDs, we can monitor that, and the ICANN community can take action, actually. These tools will be publicly available and be shared, for example, like a Git in a Git repository. So other organizations can use the same tools and run them on their own and verify results, or if they're interested, just as their own monitoring infrastructure. And of course, this all this development of tools and analysis is in close cooperation with the technical community in ICANN, and DNSORG, and IPG, ITF. And we also do visit the different regional internet registry meetings, like the RIPE meetings and NINOC meetings. Next slide. So these are our first results, preliminary results, based on RSSEC, excuses for the typo, RSSEC 002, and DITL analysis. And here we see the increase in traffic by the new GTD. So in 2014, I think it's very difficult to see on the slide, the amount, the percentage of the new GTD queries is 0.04%. In 2015, it's 0.2%. So it's an increase of 5%. A factor of 5. In the meantime, you can say this as a kind of a success of the new TLD, but this is really preliminary programs. The thing is that from 2014 to 2015, the number of delegated new TLDs was increased from 400 to about 1,000, so it's a factor of 2.5. So the traffic is even double that, the increase. A larger increase here is actually the number of invalids, as you can see. So we don't have an answer for that, actually. But we measured in 2014, it's about 55%. In 2016, it's about 60% of the queries to the root are invalids. And we have to dive into that. We have looked into what are these invalids. And it seems that it's a lot of broken software, actually.
With invalid meaning that this is a non-existing TLD.
Sorry, yeah, indeed. It's non-existing TLDs. All right. Yeah?
So, Jordan Buchanan with Google. Can you baseline this against... Because I know the overwhelming majority of the traffic here is invalid, so it would be helpful to understand this relative to some sort of standard of another TLD or set of TLDs.
Yeah.
So, like, if we were to compare this to, I don't know, .com or .net or .nl, how would the new gTLD traffic compare to those?
May I respond somewhat? I'm Lars Lehmann. I work for NetNode. We operate iRoot. The root servers act as kind of filters for junk, because they only refer to the top-level domain servers for the TLDs. When a query actually has a valid top-level domain. So what you see on the top-level domain servers for .com, .net, .org, and all the other ccTLDs and gTLDs are queries which are either correct or have an error in the top-level, the second-level domain.
Yeah.
A And that is probably less, but that's a guess. That's a wild guess.
Yeah, thank you.
One quick addition to that. That's very true, except that some web browsers have been known in the past. I don't know what the current trend is, that if you search for foo, it'll go search for the TLD foo. And if it can't find that, it'll search for foo.com. And then so, you know, they make some guesses at likely TLDs you might have meant to go to.
Sure. I know why this happens. It's like negative caching doesn't work very well when you have random junk being thrown into the internet, right? And so that's fine. I just, for the purpose of understanding this metric of like, oh, it's only 0.4% of traffic, you have to compare that to something that is that we're used to understanding, right? And just, you know, choose some set of other TLDs or some particular other TLDs and sort of show us what the comparison to those looks like over time would help people understand this data, I think, a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah, indeed, I think, we think .com is a good, well, measure or how to normalize your results so that to get some idea what's really now the amount of traffic heading to the, well, the new TLDs or the amount of, well, and indeed, we do see that the invalids, I just mentioned broken software, a large amount of these traffic invalids are starting with some dollar string and then some expansion would never happen to be correct. Yeah. Next slide, please. Another interesting result here is what happens. This is a time frame of 2 months in the introduction of, well, four typical, so how to say, new GLDs in the root zone. And we looked at the number of queries per day before and after the introduction of the new GLD in the root zone. And for example, for GTLD A and new GTLD B, they are quite similar. So there's before the introduction, there's a large amount of queries per day in the order of 16,000 and 40,000, 160,000. Yeah, it's 160,000 and 40,000. It's huge, and then it drops after. So on the first analysis, this is could be a result of indeed negative caching, and then when it's introduced, people are already testing or trying the new GDD. At the moment it's introduced, there's a delegation, and it gets cached in by the resolvers, and it drops to a constant rate. Typically, C is different. Also, the number of queries per day is really low, so people are probably peering. And then with the delegation, there are probably a number of... Again, we have to look into this more. There's a number of subdomains, secondary level domains already available. And the fourth one is really... Again, it's the number of queries per day is also very low, so it's really different. And at the moment it was introduced, there was a peak, and then it's even lower. So all this kind of... This is just an example of the kind of analysis we wanted to do on data at the root. And it gives us insight how new GLDs are generating traffic on the root zone. Any questions here? No, thanks. So this is from the providing part. As the root server operator and the new GTLD, we also measure the performance changes and metrics from, let's say, the client of the customer, you and I, as an internet user. So we use the RIPE Atlas measurement infrastructure, the RIPE Atlas probes, about 8,000 distributed, and a DNS mon, which are kind of the Atlas, which is running on the Atlas anchors, which are some smaller Atlas probes running at certain places in the ISP's network. So this is a constant measurement of performance to the different root letters. And in this period of, I think, it's 4 day. It's a 4 day period. There are 16 new GTLDs introduced in the root zone. So it's, you see that in the span of about 2/3 of the graph. And given the RTTs, this is not this is the median, actually, not the mean, but the median in RTTs to the root zones, to the different root letters. We don't see any statistical significant change here in the RTTs. So again, this is good news, kind of. And you want to comment?
Maybe we should emphasize that this is just one data point and that we need to do further analysis.
True. Yeah, indeed. So this is indeed only one data point. So we have to we have some other data points when new GTDs were introduced. But again, we have to go both a little bit back in history and up to up to today and do this in a continuous way. But indeed, we have to we have to stress here that these are just a number of preliminary results we want to introduce here and to discuss with you to show what kind of analysis we want to do and what kind of data we use in our study. Next slide, thanks. So the next step, again, well, after this presentation, we want to keep... have some feedback and community interaction with you here in the room and also during the rest of the sessions here at ICANN. We will present more of this data I just presented at the DNSOARC, an IPG meeting in Buenos Aires. And, of course, we plan similar sessions here at ICANN 56 and next ITF meetings up to... a draft report somewhere in autumn this year. Definitely we need more analysis and data, so we will continue our study, our data collection and analysis. We do need to do an analysis and then a breakdown of the DNS traffic per TLD type and also per letter, per root letter. We also wanted to look how the behavior of the stability parameters, if they behave differently for the different TLD types, CCTLDs, existing GTLDs, and the new GTLDs. So, how do they behave? It's important that to stress again that we develop these tools and make them available for everyone, for the community, and that we will run them also in a continuous way as a kind of a service for the community. And from all the historical data and the analysis, we also have to, and this is indeed future work, we haven't done that yet, make scenario development, so worst case, best case, expected case scenarios. And again, these scenarios will be adopted through time if we collect more data and more current data. To get more measurement data, we work, we are in discussion with the different RSOs to obtain data. We will include, of course, in our study the next DITL, for 2016, planned in April. And for the TLD breakdown, historical DSC data is very useful. It's collected and published at DNSOARC, but it's already in a graphical, it's already, in a processed way presented and available, and we rather have it as, in as the raw data. So we are discussing that with DNSOARC to get our this data feed. Also, it's public data already, but we rather have it as raw as possible, so we can write our analysis scripts to use that and to use this data to have this TLD breakdown for the traffic. I think this is concludes our presentation. We are, of course, open for questions, comments, suggestions to improve our study. Thank you. Yes, please go ahead. Yeah.
Hi, it's Jordan Buchanan. Sorry, I have a lot of questions. Yeah. So, I guess my first question is, you have a bunch of sort of network performance measures, and this just makes me think generally there's a lot of, I guess, confounding factors in the study. Like all sorts of things could be happening to the root servers in addition to the delegation of these new GTLDs. Probably most of them for the better of the root server system. They're always beefing up their hardware or adding new Anycast instances, et cetera, et cetera. And you're trying to at the same time look to see like, oh, these particular things, like what effect did they have? But it strikes me that like network performance in particular, like it's hard for me to imagine how adding new things to the zone file would ever have an effect on like trace route times or something like that. So I guess I'm curious, why are you looking at that purely to understand the confounding effects, or do you actually have a hypothesis about why the new GTLDs might have effect on the network characteristics, at least, of the root server system?
You're right, actually. So there are many factors between me as a resolver or as using resolver and the root server. So what we don't have an hypothesis that it would be changed by the introduction of a new GTLDs, but just it's actually to rule out any possibility there is an effect here to measure, and also to make sure that indeed that the users don't see any changes here. I have to say that one of the questions also at the table was that by the introduction of new GTLDs and maybe by that is not the case actually, but it was the question if there's a large number of broken delegations, DNSSEC, would that increase the traffic to the root zone? In particular, and that's the client part. How do the resolvers behave in the DNSSEC validation? The kind of rollover and die behavior. So they try to create a valid DNSSEC validation path from the root to the name they want to resolve. And will they try every root letter, for example, to find a correct delegation to the secondary or to the TLD? So this kind of effects we wanted to at least to rule out that this will happen, and I think it was a valid question. And we also we know how the different, more or less, the different resolvers work in this kind of failure. So they don't try all letters, but they try a number of letters, and make sure that it won't negatively affect the root zone operations. Yeah. So it's a little bit the combination of a root zone and how the resolvers behave, and also what their possibly more anomalous behavior could be. Other thing is that actually by doing this continuous measurement, we found some strange behavior of one of the open source resolvers, the one we developed at NLNet Labs. So we could fix some of the software. It was not a big thing, actually, but it was really a corner case. And by continuously monitoring, this kind of unexpected events appeared, and we can improve the software and make it even better. This is all. Yes, go ahead.
Cool. No, anyone else can interrupt me as I go, but I'll keep asking questions if no one else has any.
That's why you're here.
So one thing I noticed that was, you mentioned that part of the strategy here is to have more consultation with the technical community, and you mentioned various people you're going to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
The group that I noticed that was conspicuously absent from that list was the root server operators themselves. And I'm particularly curious about this in the context of when I look at the things you're measuring, you're sort of measuring it like from the outside world, how does stuff look? And that will certainly tell you if the new introduction of new GTLDs or any other events have already broken the root system somehow, or having a deleterious effect that's obvious to the end user. But you know, if you saw, like, I don't think this is likely, but for example, oh, we've added so many new TLDs that all of the root servers are now at 95% of their RAM capacity or something like that.
Yeah.
We wouldn't see that from the outside, but there would be a step function coming up that would be really, really bad that we were about to run into. And we wouldn't see that until we actually ran out, like they all ran out of RAM.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you are also consulting with the operators themselves to, like, look at some of these sort of white box or internal metrics in addition to the stuff that we can see externally.
So we are in contact with some of the RSOs. But indeed, so we haven't talked about this kind of operational parameters, which are indeed very interesting. But indeed, it's the more data we have, the better. Indeed, but as you understand, indeed, it's not easy to get to all this operational kind of data. The RSOs are not how do I say that? They don't have the way of to share the data immediately with others by various reasons. So indeed, these we would like to have more data, of course. But for now, the public data, we can do a lot of analysis. And again, we also with the LRoot operator is open for sharing more data with us. So we are in discussion with that. Yeah. Limon. Yeah.
Yeah. Lars, excuse me, Lars Lehmann from iRoot again. I see this study as a complement to what the root servers do themselves, because we, of course, monitor our systems very closely all the time. This is something that we cannot easily do ourselves, namely looking at this from the outside from a very broad perspective. So I think these things go together, and I'm happy to say that we have a very good working relationship with Dell NetLabs in various various contexts. This is just one of them.
Sure, it's Jordan Buchanan again. I guess I also sit on the CCT review, and there's also, for example, the new GTLD policy process. I think, in general, those other functions within ICANN are sort of looking at this study to be a really important input into the consideration of the effects of this last round and, you know, possible introduction of new GTLDs. And so I think it would be helpful for just as a point of reference for this study to include whatever, you know, whatever we know, including whatever those consultations with the root server operators would reveal, even though I totally trust you guys are doing that on a regular basis, we don't have a point of reference to look at in terms of your day-to-day operations. So to the extent this study could at least, you know, even if it's anecdotal, right, just say like, oh, we talked to some root server operators and, you know, they didn't see anything internally either that we weren't able to measure externally, would just be a helpful piece of information for people to know, because this, I think people are going to look at this as a canonical source of information about, you know, what the effects have been to date at least.
Yeah, thank you for your suggestion, and we will certainly talk with our contacts at the RSOs. And and again, also in publishing our results, it's all aggregated, anonymized data, of course. And this kind of data, if you say it's anecdotal, but already supporting some of the data we actually from the outside measure, would be good to have in the report. Yeah. Any other questions? Please go ahead.
All right, I've got one more. So there's one thing you've mentioned in the, I think, your last slide of what you're doing next, and it said you're going to look at different types of TLDs. Can you just elaborate on what are different types of TLDs from the perspective of this study?
Yeah, so that's preliminary. It's mainly the different TLDs, so the CC TLDs, the existing GTLDs, and the new GTLDs. Do they structurally behave differently or have different patterns of DNS queries to the root zone? So And that's including the DNSSEC validation. And we did some, Jaap Akkerhuis, my colleague from NLN Labs, did present at the CCNSO Tech Day about this work. And actually, over the past 4 years, he did kind of continuous monitoring of the DNSSEC validation of the TLDs. And he's actually said, well, what we measure is the, well, the in the Hall of Shame, it's primarily the CCNSO, CCTLDs, which have broken delegations, rather than the new GTLDs, for example. So this kind of study, so is this specific class, the new TLDs, behaving differently or similarly to the existing TLDs already in the root zone? And actually, what we see is the moment the incidents, these are really one-time events that the new GLD has a broken delegation. It quite often occurs only once, probably at the introduction, at the start of the new GLD. And it also happens then with two or five new TLDs, apparently because these new TLDs are... have the same back-end system or run by the same registry operator, registry operator, as I say. There's more different administrative contact, but the technical contacts are the same. So it's one system, and they're booting up their system. So this kind of studies will, I think, be important for the community as an input that new TLDs are not behaving worse or not as good as the existing, actually. And also by the requirements of ICANN, I think the operators who run the new TLDs are well equipped. Yeah, John.
Just a question, because I don't know the answer to this. Do you have access to any of the monitoring data related to things like this that ICANN does?
Not that I'm aware of. We are talking with Terry, so...
You should probably also talk to Francisco.
Francisco, okay.
Okay, good. We can talk offline.
Yeah. That would be nice indeed. Thank you very much. Please go ahead. If you have any more questions,
No. Thanks. I think this is this has been helpful. I think my questions at least have been addressed for the moment. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So Christian and I and Jaap are around here for the next 2 days, 3 days. Please, if you have any other questions, send us an email or tap us on our shoulder if we walk through the corridor and the hallways. And at the last slide, you find our website and our contact points. So there's the cedar.nl website. You find our email addresses there also and other ways to get in contact with us. Okay, thank you. Elisa, maybe not some some concluding remarks. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Ja, was nuttig. En onze positionering moeten we misschien een beetje aanpassen met wat Lars.
Ja.
We moeten eigenlijk zeggen dat dit, we moeten wel de RSO's praten, maar zeggen dat dit de
buitenkant perspectief is. Ja. Maar inderdaad, als we dat, dat is wel goed, al is het anekdotal, dat de route-operators wel iets kunnen zeggen over wat in die periode, wat zij op hun systeem
hebben. Ja, dat is wel kunnen correleren zo.
Ja, en dat is wel in het rapport.
We kunnen wel accenten leggen.
Ja, dat is wel in het rapport.
En dat we duidelijk opschrijven. Ja. Dat is ook maken met de scope van de studie.
Ja.